Welcome to MSP 1337. I'm your host, Chris Johnson, a show dedicated to cybersecurity challenges, solutions, a journey together, not alone. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of MSP 1337. This week, we are talking about the MSP client deal breakers in cybersecurity. So this could be with an existing client or with a prospect, but it's the, where do we draw the line? And I'm joined this week by Charles Love of ShowTech Solution. Charles, welcome back.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
So I realize that sometimes I say, hey, Charles, like, what do you want to talk about this week? And you're like, no response for like 3 days. And then I go, maybe he doesn't want to talk to me anymore. And I realize we all get busy and we're starting to go into the actual busy season for events. It's 2024 and there's been a couple sprinklings since January, the new year started, but now we look at like March and beyond and it's like, there's something every week if you wanted to. So as you know, with the Trustmark and some of the other stuff that I've been engaged in over the years, I have a tendency to be put in front of more than a few MSPs in a given week. And I've started listening to the dialogue surrounding working through a framework, trying to align with safeguards. Maybe they're doing even talking about the new CSF 2.0 that came out from NIST. But what was interesting is I had this happen now a couple times in the last 2 weeks where the MSP said, and I could never do that with my client. I would never be able to implement that level of security with my client. And so this is getting into that area of what I, you know, in my having been out of it for 6 years now going, these should be deal breakers in my head. And I'm not saying that to say it should be for you because I'm not an MSP anymore. And I understand the financial decisions and some of the other stuff that goes into prospects and existing clients. When we look at security and go, how do we adapt? How do we appropriately put the right security measures in place and in order to protect ourselves and our clients that have entrusted us with protecting them. And the one that came to mind was local admin rights on end user client machines. And it was funny because this particular MSP has finished implementing that internally and still believes that they'll never be able to pull this off with most of their clients. And so I just thought I would start with that one, kind of get your thoughts and kind of walk through, you know, what are some of the challenges with this that you guys deal with on a daily basis when working with existing and prospective clients?
Yeah, and times have changed, obviously, right? The conversation a bunch of years ago was nobody's ever going to pay for email in the cloud. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Right.
Right. And like back then, like even I'm talking pre-BPOS, like pre, like
you're talking like Google and some of those had just kind of started launching. Even yeah. Hotmail was like, you're getting it via, you know, POP3.
Yeah. But back then everybody had a server that they can smell and touch and there it was.
Blinky and lights.
Yeah. And that was probably, 15 years or so where we were starting to have these conversations
back when facial hair was not white.
Yeah, exactly. And but it has changed because now the conversation is nobody's ever going to want to have email in their building, right? It's the same conversation, just replace the word in their building with the cloud. As the industry and as companies mature, things change, right? Things change. The days of old where I want to see it, touch it, smell it, it's still there a little bit, but that is the exception, not the norm. Admin access is kind of a slippery slope, right? So we use a PAM solution just to kind of address that, where the if a customer comes to me and says, hey, if we're going to do business together, I need admin access to all my PCs. I'm going to say, well, it sounds like we're not doing business together, right? Yeah. But in a much nicer way. But I go, but let me tell you how we do it. You know, and I explain how a PAM solution works, where if you try to do something, chances are, you know, it'll buzz our phones and then we can say yay or nay on our phone. And we tell them, you know, hey, most of those things are handled within 60 seconds, right?
But I mean, let's clarify that you're talking about, like, when you say PAM, you're not talking about like your accountant. You're talking about privileged access management.
Yes, I
Okay.
apologize. Yeah. So, like, we use a tool, we call it the PAM solution, but we use a tool where we remove everybody's admin access. But if they need to run something at an admin level, they get a little window that says, hey, you sure you want to do this? It's like that's their first window. So they say, yes, I'm sure I want to do this. And then my whole team gets a buzz on their phone that says, hey, Chris Johnson is trying to run Winamp as an administrator. And I'm going to look at that and go, Winamp, why is he running Winamp? And it's going to do one of two things. I can either say approve, deny, or I'll let it sit and it'll create a ticket for us. And then we'll call that user. I'll be like, Chris, it's 2024. Why are you running Winamp? Right? Like,
Was on my
and
Windows machine, they took away
yeah.
iTunes.
No, but that's a thing. And I would say honestly, because we have a dashboard that tells me this, but like it's almost like 90% of our things are handled within an 8 minute window, right? Which is our timer. So what the way I explain that back to the customer, I said, think about this. Old school ways, we remove your access, and every time you want to do something, you got to pick up a phone. You got to call. You got to explain the story. We got to validate you. That's a 5, 10 minute procedure versus me going, oh, Chris is trying to install Adobe and it looks like it's coming from Adobe. Okay. Right.
So this was a, I mean, so this is, I don't want to say we jumped ahead on what was in my head, but that's what happened. So, but to your point, if we went back 10 years, PAM solutions were non-existent to
No.
what, like, and installing software on an endpoint, with privileged access being a requirement, there was a lot of power user modes happening because, you know, admin rights. I mean, it would have been, you would have had a lot of tickets going for every time an application needed an update, fill in the blank. It
Yes,
was painful.
absolutely.
And I think to some degree, we probably still have a world of clients that still believe that that would happen if we took some of those privileges away, just because of their brain is still 10 years back in time. Because unless someone's come in and educated them on what is available today, that, I mean, they wouldn't have any other awareness around a lot of those tools. It's not like you see them on, you know, next to fill in the blank drug that's made the, you know, the 30-second Hulu advertisement. We don't, it's not like it's in our, these are not things that we see outside of an MSP bringing it to us.
For sure. But what I'm trying to draw a parallel to here is that's today. That's 2024. The conversation is far easier now because I can show them, right? I've had the customer who says, I want admin access. And I'm like, no, you don't. Do you have cyber insurance? Yes. Well, then you can have it. That's my favorite
I
answer.
love it. I love that. You can't
There's
have, you can't
yeah,
handle the truth.
there's not a cyber insurance plan in the universe that says you could be a local admin, right? So technology has helped with the issue, which is awesome, right? Before 5, 10 years ago, all right here, sign this piece of paper that says if you screw it up, it's on you, but then I'd have to prove you screwed it up. So the conversation's a little easier. So if a customer says, I want admin access, we kind of dance around it by saying, well, you kind of have it. It's just, I like to call it a two key system. So they are key number one, and we are key number two.
And we all know that you generally go through some steps like break glass before you decide to turn the keys for the launch code to take effect, right? Like this is something that you think
Yes.
through. The knee-jerk reaction, I know we've talked about this before, of like, why do we put the banner on the top of an email that says this is from an external source, or you know, like the warning signs, right? And it's like, well, that I'm at a stoplight. I won't be able to click on the link. If the link is there, I won't be able to do it. And it's like, yes, but if you have to read the banner, maybe you will just take one more second to go, wait a second, this was not from my HR department. This was from somebody
Exactly.
claiming. So this makes me think of another question that kind of goes hand in hand. You're talking about the easier, how it's become easier to have the conversation, but it makes me think about the vendors that we all have worked with over the years and the challenges there. So like, for example, letting a client know that they need fill in the blank. I'll use an easy one. Like maybe they need Duo. It's an added cost, right? Like, and you're talking to the client about how they need to implement this tool, for MFA, because let's just say that the vendor still doesn't support it. Getting that question that says, well, why isn't this provided to me by fill in the blank vendor. We could go back to the Microsoft days when we didn't have MFA as an option through Microsoft, right? Like that wasn't always a thing. How do you handle those types of conversations? Because I feel like sometimes that's a more difficult bridge to cross than it is to, you're like, why do I need a third-party backup solution? Doesn't Microsoft back my data up?
Yeah, that's the big one that we have to answer all the time, right?
Yeah.
But it's a lot of it's unique to the situation,
Sure.
right? A lot of people on the MFA thing are like, well, when I go to Office 365, it pops me a code or I have to type something, right? But a lot of people don't realize that that has nothing to do with Windows.
Right.
I'm still amazed that we're in 2024 and Microsoft kinda has figured it out, but hasn't come up with a Duo killer, right?
Sure.
I love Duo. Don't get me wrong. We use it, we
Yeah.
sell it, all that good stuff. I log in every day and I approve my Duo, right?
Right.
But Microsoft came out with the a light version where you use a PIN. It's not the
Yeah.
same. It checks a box,
But to
but
your point, let's cover that for a second, because there's a unique element to Duo that we've seen with other like apps. So this isn't just Duo has it, but the push notification to approve or reject, right? Like that's one of the biggest, like, yes, it's me trying to log in. No, it's not. We haven't gotten that far, I don't believe, with the Microsoft,
no,
you
not
know.
yet. Not yet.
And to your point, that's kind of, in some respects, that's only a partial killer to the application. Like
For
there's other
sure.
things like, no, you do not meet the and we're seeing this from other vendors. Like I don't know if you saw the 1Password Okta. They've got a new thing together where I think 1Password actually just recently acquired Okta, and that's getting incorporated in to do 1Password with device level security. So like we're seeing other players, like, so back to the to your point here with Microsoft, like what we're talking about is like, why haven't they created the killer? And maybe it's an obvious because they're doing a great job. Why invest resources there when I can just say not my problem right now?
Yeah, and it's companies kind of like it's always funny, like Google has always been like ahead of the industry, right?
And
They've
have you seen
forced
the
on,
Pixel? It came out after the iPhone. Oh, wait.
but they've forced
Yeah.
Google forced two factor and passwordless years and years ago.
Right.
We're in March of 2024 and Microsoft has finally said, okay,
Maybe
security
this is something.
defaults.
Yeah.
No, it's they finally have said it.
Yeah.
Security defaults is being turned on across the entire ecosystem
Right.
in 2024. We're like 5 years late.
Sure.
But you're seeing vendors start to catch up. But going back to the whole reason for the call, another good thing that we get a lot of is I don't want that two-factor stuff.
Yeah, that
Right?
stuff.
Yeah, and that's another killer for us because we completely recommend it. We absolutely have people saying, I want it turned off for A, B, C, and D. And we won't do that. I actually told somebody today that we will not be doing that. And here's why. And you have cyber insurance and you attested the fact that you have it. Please call them first and then come
Yeah.
back to me and see what they say. It's literally what I
So
told
there's
them.
something to that though that I think is interesting. As an industry, we've pushed really hard on do MFA. It's like do MFA, just do it. And instead of saying like, what are we doing MFA on? Because there are some sites like my MySpace account that probably, I mean, MFA is not terrible, but what's it gonna gather? I mean, there maybe that's a bad example, but there are definitely websites that don't store sensitive data that maybe MFA might just be overkill.
Yeah. Let me just say that I start laughing because I have an analogy here that is the best thing.
Oh, I thought you were going to
Just
say we're friends on MySpace.
no. Just because, all right, so a lot of bathrooms say employees must wash hands, right?
Yep.
So I don't know about you, but I always wait in the restroom for an employee to come wash my hands. Never happens. Never
Have you ever been in the
happens.
bathroom for a long time
Yeah.
then?
Yeah. But what happens, and you'll understand where I'm going. What happens when you go to that restroom that doesn't say that, right? The idea around the sign is, hey, everybody, and employees too, wash your hands. Right, wash your hands. But if there's no sign, does that mean you don't have to wash your hands? No, it just means there's no sign, right? So when we say, hey, you should turn on MFA, it's kind of like the bathroom sign. Just because there's no sign, you should still be doing it, right? And there's no sign that says I have to wear clothes, but I do. You're welcome. But but
And this
there's
is after
certain,
you've stayed in the bathroom until an employee comes in.
yeah. But it's not saying you have to wear specific clothes made out of specific. No. It's just saying, just wear clothes. So when an IT folk says turn on MFA, we mean wherever the hell it's available, use it. If it's your MySpace page and you want to go listen to
Whatever
Guns N'
band.
Roses on your page or whatever it was, right? So it's kind of a part of culture now, where I put on clothes. I now do MFA. It's that kind of thing. And a lot of times people are, they don't think, right? And I think I've told you this before. I've had people say, Charles, you'd be so proud of me. I've turned on, I'm using a password manager. And I'm like, cool. Did you turn on MFA to that password manager? No. It's like, oh, remember,
So close.
always. Yeah. It's just, you're there. You're actually
Here,
worse off
yeah, here's the
now.
five cyber hygiene things that you need to do all the time, and don't do anything else until those five things are done. If you need to, touch your toes three times before you cross a threshold, don't suddenly change your routine just because no one's there to tell you, oh, don't forget to touch your toes.
Yeah, and I think it was Matt or somebody I saw speak once said a lot of times vendor will ship a product with a lot of the, I'm going to say it terribly, but you'll get the gist, with a lot of the guards down because you don't want to ship a complicated product. MFA, for example, is a complicated feature for many. And if they can't figure it out, they're going to give up on it and move on to the next one. So a lot of vendors are doing this kind of bare minimum thing. And they're saying, hey, you should probably turn on all these 89 features that are off by default.
Which is kind of where Microsoft was before, right? Security defaults wasn't by default turned on. That would have forced you during setup to enable some
Correct.
of those things in order to move. So along those lines, do you think that we're at a place in time then where, I mean, I just think about like all of the things we just talked about. Those aren't necessarily security best practices. They are compliance to a security standard, right? So, like thinking about MFA, you're saying, like, hey, turn on MFA. Like, any MFA is better than no MFA, which is true. But security best practices would say that there are certain types of MFA implementations that aren't great, or are no longer considered an appropriate level of security, but in many cases still meets the minimum for complying with, say,
Yeah.
MFA.
And like some vendors get it. Like the new Microsoft Authenticator, COVID was the best thing to happen to Microsoft that came out with so much innovation. And the number matching is like the best, right? Because I use Duo and I have it on my watch. And
If it
you
doesn't
can,
match.
no, you can, Duo doesn't, I don't, the way the one Duo is set up with the thing is you can just approve it on your watch, right?
Dude, the way you just
Where,
said that was like every client's dream is that the IT guy just talked to me in my language. The
yeah.
thing, it does the thing on my
Yeah.
watch with the doohickey. I think we've covered all of the security elements that any client can fully understand by just saying words that they use when they ask us questions in open tickets.
Yeah. So I really think passwordless is going to be kind of like where we're going, but because now it's like even Google, right? Going back to them, if I'm trying to log into Gmail on a computer, it's like, hey, open up the Google Photos app. It's like, wait, what? Like on this other device to verify this one, because that's a form of
Yeah, and then I've run into
factoring.
that, and you're
So,
like, do I have this app on my phone? I don't remember ever using it
yeah, I've had to
ever.
reinstall an app or two because it picks some random open maps or something, but yeah.
And you're like, and it says, are you trying to log in on this other device? And you're like, am I? I think so. Like, that's that screen. Oh, it is. These do go together. This is great. Like, I didn't have to put my password in again.
Yeah, and so just the whole deal killer thing, it's always going to be unique, right? It's the big question when somebody goes, hey, would you take on this account, right? Because I've had people ask me that. I got this one account, they're kind of weirding me out. Would you take them on? And my favorite answer to that is, will you be able to sleep at night with them as a customer? right? So if that customer has global admin to their 365 on their primary account, can you sleep like a baby? No. Well, then maybe that's not a good fit.
I mean, we also know there's a lot of MSPs that don't sleep at night now, knowing that they have, employees in their own organization that have global admin rights to 365.
Yeah, I mean, I
That's a whole
don't,
nother, that's a whole nother
right?
rabbit hole.
Yeah, that's a whole other
So
outcomes type issue.
we've talked through all of the, I don't want to say challenges, but more of the things that are considered normal today that we would say these things need to happen, and the resistance to them has diminished greatly. Are there, so I guess the next, I guess the shift gears is to look at, as you work with clients and prospects, I liked that first one is, if I take them on as a client, am I going to be able to sleep at night with what they are seemingly going to expect from us as their vendor? But what about, I would assume there's some other things, like are there things that come up during an existing client contract where you're just like, if that's where we're going, then we are parting ways.
Yeah, I'll give you a good example. Hey, Mr. Customer, here's it looks like you don't have a firewall using the vendor's firewall, right? We need to get you on a solution that
ISP
we can,
router.
the Action Tech or whatever
Yeah, yep.
Verizon or whoever gives you. It's like, well, we if we're ultimately responsible for your environment, that can't be here. I mean, it could be here, but I need my stuff in
I
front
need
of it or
something in
behind it
between
or
it and
whatever.
you. Yeah.
Yeah, because I can't monitor, manage, protect you with that box. Well, I don't want to pay the $89 a month for a HAS unit. Well, then we can't take you on because our contract states we have to provide a safe and secure environment for you to do your day-to-day business.
I
Right? So
like that. So,
that's a good example.
what's the definition at Showtech of a safe and secure environment?
That we have all of our tools running and reporting back to our super secret mega system that tells me when things are going good and bad.
The one that floats in the sky above the clouds?
Yes. Yeah. No, but it's like, if you don't have proper network monitoring and you don't have management of the customer's ecosystem, I'm talking like a on-prem one,
Sure.
home users and home offices, that's a whole other ball of
Well, that's a
wax,
whole
but
nother question. Like, what is the network when you start thinking about those environments?
But if we're talking about a building with
Yeah.
walls,
Right.
right? If we're, if we don't have network monitoring and the Wi-Fi goes down, you're gonna call me pissed off. And we're like, we pay you all this money. What do you mean you didn't know the Wi-Fi? Well, you didn't buy the $49 a month monitoring package. I don't know what to tell
I
you,
mean, this is why
right?
I see through the different lens of like when we're talking about compliance and safeguards, whether it's CIS, the trust mark, fill in the blank, there are safeguards in there that talk about like how you secure wireless. And I had someone ask me, like, well, we don't have wireless in our office. And I'm like, that's great. What happens if tomorrow you do? So, like, what do you
Yeah.
mean? I go, what happens if tomorrow, whatever box it is, whatever end user you have in your office employee that comes in and plugs something in, what now? Like, if you don't have something for it, then you are truly going to be non-compliant. And the re remediation could be catastrophic for you because it just happened under your nose and none of the tools are in place to let you know, like, oh, by the way, there's now wireless in your environment.
Yeah, I was at a conference and somebody brought a travel router, and they somehow uplinked it, I guess, to the wrong port in their hotel room, and their goofy travel router took over all DHCP for the entire conference,
That
right?
raises a lot of questions about the setup for that hotel.
Yeah, but they figured it out, but still, there was a good day. Like I saw them. There was the five IT guys from the hotel's thing, like running
That's
around all the rooms and
to be
stuff.
clear, that was all of the IT guys.
Yeah. But like for me, I would have gotten like, hey, there's a new router detected on the network
Right.
ticket that we could have addressed. These poor guys are running around like crazy trying to figure out what they figured out what building it is, and then they had to like play the old school unplug, 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 unplug
Whack-a-mole,
game.
yeah.
Yeah, to try and
I
find the
mean,
actual room.
and we know that it's interesting you say that it's 2024, that having something like that happen shouldn't be a normal thing, right? But 10, 15 years ago, I mean, I remember you probably had the little device, the Link Sprinter, where you could plug it into any data port in any building. And if it was connected on the other end to a switch, it would tell you what switch, What port? Can I get DHCP? Is it PoE? And can I get to the internet? And even tell
I
you what
got
DNS you
one.
have.
Tells you what voltage to PoE
Yep.
is, the
And
distance, all
what's
that fun
crazy
stuff.
is how much those were like 3, 5, 6 years ago. They were like, I think I got my, I have the yellow one before they sold to NetAlly, but it was like, I think maybe it was all of $150,
Yeah.
$175. And now they're going for the same little unit, $400.
Yep,
Cause
like
it, I mean,
Fluke.
it
Yeah.
truly solves problems, right? You're like, click, this is what's going on, right? And now you look at what we're dealing with today, and it's like, wait, what do you mean you had to run around? You figured out it was in what building, and it's a hotel. There's how many rooms in that hotel? Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. And you think about that kind of stuff. It's just for a customer, right?
Yeah.
It's the you gotta like kind of figure out where their mind is at. Is IT a thing like a paperclip, or is it a part of their business?
Right.
And the ones who view it as a paperclip, that means they don't value it. That means they don't invest in it. That means it's just they don't care what brand. Like, do you even know what paperclip brand you
Until they
have?
don't have paper clips.
No, I for sure, right? It's the same customer who says, "Oh, downtime is fine. Like, we don't need an HA firewall. If we're down for a day, it's not the end of the world." And the
And we
moment the
have no
internet,
data we care about.
the moment it blips, I get 32 calls. Why is the internet down? Wait a minute, I thought it didn't matter. Yeah.
And I'm sure as you draw on the line in the sand, that's how you answer the phone too.
Yeah, on this day. Yeah, exactly.
Let it be known. Hold on, let me go open the window and tell the world.
Yep.
Wow. I think we've covered all of the sort of key pieces. You've highlighted if you know if our security, if our keep you safe isn't followed, then really they're just not going to be a client, or they're going to stop being a client if you can no longer keep them safe.
Yeah, and let me just add one thing. We're asking different questions now.
Sure.
Right, to try and fish out if they treat us like a paperclip or if they're going to treat us like a business partner. We're also starting to ask as a part of our, so basically nobody's a customer until they prove that they're worthy of being a customer kind of
Sure.
mentality, which is kind of the new ship for MSPs.
Yeah.
But one question we asked to somebody last week, I think, and they're like, "You're the fifth IT company we've had in," which red flag right there. But whatever. They go, "You're the only one who's asked for a copy of the last," I'm going to butcher the word. You say it. It's the insurance
Oh,
form.
the questionnaire.
No, the attestation. I struggle with
Attestation.
that one.
Okay.
I asked them for the last time they have done the yes no questionnaire,
Yeah.
and I want to see it. And people are like, "Nobody's ever asked me for this." I'm like, "Yeah, I want to see how bad you lied." Right, to just kind of review, or they're going to say, "What is that? What is cyber insurance? We have
Both of those are
liability."
wins, right? If you can get both those and either one of those answers, it's still a win, right? Because it at least gives you a place to go. If they said, if they're like, no, I'm not showing you that, that's a whole different conversation. Like, as in, I'm out of here.
Chances are they're going to say, "We've never had to fill one out," which tells me, IT is a paperclip.
Or you need to check on their who they have insurance from if they have it at all. Because there are still some carriers out there, particularly some smaller carriers, that if they've been a good client, they've never had an incident, B word, they still issue them the policy every year, and to them, they're a low risk profile, right?
For sure, for sure.
Well, I think that's our time limit. I hope you're looking forward to the awards dinner tonight, since tonight is the CCF awards banquet. I trust you'll be in your special attire, your what they call it, cocktail attire.
Yeah, I'm bringing my top hat. You just you wait.
I will just be carrying a cocktail.
Fair enough.
Everybody listening, this has been an episode of 1337. Thanks and have a great week.